Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, party people. Welcome to the DC Legends Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jesus Heredia, and tonight we are talking about episode 12 of season 1 of DC Legends of Tomorrow. It was titled Last Refuge, and boy was it. This episode aired on April 21st, 2016. I know we're a little behind, but we're playing catch up this week, so we can be ready and fully geared to go next week. As, you know, the season is coming to a slow close at, I believe, a total of 16 episodes. So right now we're talking about episode 12. So we are live for the next 30 minutes. So if you're listening to us, please call in. Our number is 647-787-8210. And if you're listening to this right now via iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or any other way you got the podcast, I want to thank you personally so much for listening to the podcast and also to the other shows that I do. It's just a lot of fun to talk about, just to vent. You know, I'm not an expert. I'm just a fan. And if you're a fan as well, you're always welcome to join. Again, that number is 646-787-8210. We're doing episode 13 tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're free around 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, call in and join us on the conversation. All right, let's see. Our first caller here is from area code 239. Mm-hmm. Who is this?
Matt the Legend. What is up, man? Wow. That was one hell of an episode. Oh, my God. I loved it. I mean, seeing young Sarah, I mean, right before Oliver gets on the boat to the island, I mean, that was freaking awesome. I mean, that was one of my favorite scenes right there. I mean,
didn't it remind you kind of like a Terminator? But instead of, you know, the Terminator being the robot, it was a female bounty.
I mean, like, in the opening scene, the Adam Gray, when he goes to younger Heat Rave, I loved it when it goes, come with me if you want to live. And then when he goes...
he's always wanted to say that. I totally get it.
All right,
let's see. We
so
have a
cool
new caller here, Matt, joining us here on the podcast. Let's see who's on the line. Hello, caller. Hello. Your line is open if you're there.
Hello?
Hi, who is this?
What's up, guys? It's Joe from Krypton.
Oh, what's up, sir?
Hey, Joe.
What's going on? How are you guys?
Good,
awesome.
Good. You know, we're here talking about CW shows. I just want to point out a big announcement today was that Supergirl Season 2 has been renewed but moved to CW instead of CBS. How do you guys feel about that? Yeah.
That's
going to
be
just
awesome.
Today.
Multiverse, guys. That's going to be
amazing.
There you
go. Multiverse.
Multiverse
that's
is happening.
For sure. Between the four shows. Imagine, now you have four shows to go in and out
what
of.
What night is it going to fall
epicness
off? They better be smart next year, because I didn't like the way it was airing the same time as Gotham. Those guys kind of screwed up there when it aired.
Yeah, they better not put
Gotham.
It on CW on a Monday.
Do it on a Friday.
Or they should do it like back-to-back on Friday. Not Friday, on Tuesday. With the Flash and Supergirl. Joe, what do you think? Where should Supergirl land on?
On what day?
Yeah. Well, what do you think it should land on the CW?
Probably, I'd say Tuesday is a nice fit. After the Flash
I think with the Flash, it would be a great lead-in with the Flash.
Well, there's also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
Agents of what?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, that show.
Well, you know what? Also, Monday, CW, they don't have anything DC related on Mondays. I think Monday would not work out nice for it also.
Yeah, Gotham at 8 and then Supergirl at 9, which would be perfect. Because my friend John and I are big fans. And
perfect harmony there. That's for
they
sure.
would love that show. I'm glad it's going to CW. That's just crazy.
Yeah,
me
so that's
John
the big announcement.
About
it's
it.
Going to CW. Now, I'm a little worried because, you know, CW doesn't have CBS's money. Do you think we'll see a quality difference from season one to season two?
Sometimes when you have less budget, you become more creative. So it might still work out pretty nicely.
Yeah, hopefully there's not that major, you know, change. Obviously the effects might be a little, you know, dumbed down or even less. But I think, you know, they're really smart over there, so they know what they're doing. I'm sure it's going to be seamless.
I think the exciting thing is that she can finally cross over with Arrow and Legends and all that.
Yes.
Shit.
Three other shows, yeah. Yeah.
Bring Supergirl over to Arrow. That's what also me and John talk about.
Arrow
and
DC Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, the sky's the limit now.
Joe, was that link you sent me false or real? Is Tom Welling coming on to Supergirl?
No,
that was on
April Fool's Day, man. I was just sending it to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
there you go.
Well,
you got hooked in, Matt. All right, so
How
Last Refuge. Joe, did
this?
You watch Last Refuge?
No, actually, I didn't watch. I didn't watch it. I'm going to watch it tonight, though.
Yeah, it was a good one. Let me read you the quick synopsis
so
you have
great.
An idea what we're talking about. The Pilgrim begins targeting, she's another bounty hunter that's targeting each of the team members. Gideon uses the Pilgrim's temporal distortions to predict her next move. After they successfully rescue Mick and Sarah's younger selves, Gideon loses track of the Pilgrim's movement, which will allow her to take out any of the team without knowing. The Pilgrim goes after Ray, but the team arrives just in time to save his former self and prevent Ray's death. Rip decides to abduct the rest of the team's infant selves to prevent the Pilgrim from killing any version of them. That was smart. They're like, Rip was like, let's just go to the babies. Why are we dealing with like toddlers or teenagers? Let's just hit the source. Don't you think they should have gone back in time again to just get Ray's infant self and Rip's infant self?
And then Captain Cold's infant self.
You would have
a
whole bunch of babies on that Wave Rider.
Yeah, that was just crazy.
So then it continues, they are successful bringing the infants to Rip's adoptive mother to look after until they can stop the Pilgrim. The Pilgrim kidnaps Jefferson's father, threatening to kill him and everyone else that loves them unless they give themselves up to her. Rip agrees to give his younger self before he became a Time Master in exchange for someone else's life. The Pilgrim agrees, but the team sets up a trap for her. The Pilgrim is able to freeze the team as they attack, but fails to notice Rip's younger self as he stabs her. Very cool scene there. Did you see that coming, Matt? Where young Rip Hunter...
The way Cold was using his freeze gun, was using his heat gun.
It
kind
of reminded me of, you know, Quicksilver from The Last X-Men, how he kind of went around the room, but everybody was, you know, in, like, slow motion, stuck in time, kind of freeze frame.
That part was pretty cool. I like that part, when she was all controlling their powers, and that was awesome.
It was a great villain, and then team is able to destroy the Pilgrim. Afterward, Ray and Kendra become engaged. So now it's official. As of this episode, Kendra and Ray are officially engaged. Matt, how do you feel about this? Do you think it's going to last, or do you think there's doom up ahead?
I know it. There's doom up. No, I don't want to say it. If you haven't seen
don't say it. We're pretending this just aired.
we're pretending it just aired, so you don't want to know.
We can talk about that one tomorrow.
If I'm home.
Joe, how
do
you feel? Kendra and Ray are engaged. Or maybe not. I think he's gone.
Uh-oh.
Yep, he's gone. Okay. So continuing the talk of Refuge, Personally, regarding Rey and Kendra, I don't know. It's hard because I love Rey, and I want him to be
Me
happy,
too.
You know, especially that character. But I don't know. I don't see them together. Like, there's not that much chemistry.
Not really.
You know, I know they each other, hey, I love you, and all this and that. But I just don't buy it. Maybe it's the acting, or maybe they're not really giving us what we want. But that's the way I feel. How do you feel about that, Matt? Their chemistry between the two.
I liked it a few times, but, it feels like Smallville all over again. It's a bit of a soap opera with Lana and Clark, Chloe and Clark.
But, you know, there's got to be love somewhere, right?
Lex and Lana. Yeah. There is love in there, but Brendan Roth doesn't.
All right. Well,
Brendan
Joe
Roth
is back with us. Joe, where we're talking about Rey and Kendra's relationship now that they're engaged. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's a little strange, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's I don't know, man. I really don't know how I feel about that. I think
I'm not that
odd.
Negative on it. I'm not hating it, but I'm not buying it either.
Yeah. It seems a little forced, doesn't it?
A little forced. It feels like a
it is.
Laurel Lance and Oliver Queen forced, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that never worked out, especially now that she's gone. But,
nope.
Yeah.
No,
all right.
So
those are my concerns, is Rey and Kendra. As of now, of course, we know what happens later, but as of now, it's a little iffy on what the fate of their relationship will be. Now, going back to the past in this show, we saw a young Rip Hunter before he became a young travel master. Very cool. They got, you know, especially the younger selves, they got people that kind of look like them. And especially with Rip's younger self, the hairstyle and the way he just himself, it was kind of cool to see a younger Rip in the past, and especially how he was being taken care of that lady. Do you remember the lady's name, Matt, by chance? I totally forgot. The one that was taking care of Britt.
I don't remember her name. I recently watched the episode, but I don't remember her name. It's kind of forgetful.
Yeah. But
I
she was
like
good, too. She was kind of like the one, the backbone for Rip's future, you know, kind of like getting him ready to become this Time Master. And if you remember, Matt, the place where she lived, it was kind of like off the timeline where I guess she's not detected by the bounty hunters or Pilgrim. What's your take on that little side timeline where they're at?
I thought it was interesting to see where she's housing kind of
like a
all
little
the
pit
kids.
Stop on time.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to see it that way.
Right. Now, you know, I was thinking about what you said, Matt, we didn't have one yesterday, but the day before, where when is the Flash going to show up on DC Legends? Because this whole show is based on time, and we know the Flash time travels. So you're right. Like, when is the Flash going to make his appearance, and make a, you know, kind of fight with the crew as we saw in the special trailer teaser back last year, which I'm sure they only shot for the teaser just to get us all excited. But, I was thinking about what you said, and you're right. I'm like, where is the Flash? Joe, do you agree with Matt? Where is the Flash on this show?
Yeah, I think by this time, especially with the use of time travel, he should have at least appeared in one episode. But I don't know if this is a rumor or not, but I heard that if there's going to be a season two, which I don't know if that's confirmed, that he'll be more prominent in the second season.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And
yeah.
I believe it was confirmed. Matt, did you hear anything about a season two confirmed?
Yeah, it is confirmed.
Yeah, I think they announced it early on.
Okay,
with the
that's
Flash
good,
guys?
Yeah.
And the whole
yeah,
thing with the Flash
the only
guys?
One we were waiting on was Supergirl until today, of course, and they announced it.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. So, Matt, give us your favorite moments of Last Refuge.
I did like the scene where Ray goes to Young Heatwave, Rory, to come with me if you want to live. That was cool. And I did also Young Sarah, and where Rory goes, she's quite the badass. And that was cool. And
right, and remember
like
Captain
how,
Lance showed up, or I guess back then he was a deputy or something, you know.
Yeah, he was
class,
like
but,
a detective or
that,
cop.
That wig,
still.
Man, it really stood out. It looked like there was a cat on his head.
Yeah, he did have like a cap on his head because he is bald and Arrow right now.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good wig.
And then I liked the way how Jax had the chance to warn his dad about the war he was in.
But see, I was a little worried about that. Do you think it might have changed his timeline by him telling his dad, don't go, you're going to die?
But I think it would have been a good thing because Jax as a kid would have the chance to be raised by his father.
Right. No, that, I fully understood that there's definitely a pro to the con. But the con is, if you're changing history, you might not be on that ship, buddy, because you might be with your dad somewhere off in, like, Coastal City or, you know, somewhere else other than Central City where the particle accelerator happened. So I don't know. They really didn't address that. I get a little worried when the time travelers, which I'm talking about the whole Legends crew, when they interact with the timeline, when back to the future, where Doc Brown, where he tells Marty, you know, like don't try to change too much of the past because you know whatever you do reflects in the future. Do you guys think about that when you're watching the show, or maybe am I reading it too much?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, I'm always worried. I'm like, wait, don't even say that or don't do that or what? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Matt, for sharing your favorite moments. Mine, of course, I think the one that really stands out is when young Rip Hunter stabs the Pilgrim without any of us knowing that was the plan. That was totally the plan. And well executed. It was one of those moments where I'm like, whoa, I did not even see that coming. So definitely kudos to the creative team there for the DC Legends. All right, cool. So, Matt, anything else, DC Legends, that we haven't hit on or you want to share?
Well, I thought the episode was great. This show keeps on getting better and better. I can't wait for the episode within the hour. And I just think it keeps on going. Can we do Marvel Film Talk next?
You know, I can't because I'm on my break right now. So, but we could do it tonight after Arrow. We could do that tonight. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So it's Flash Talk and Arrow.
Flash Talk, Arrow, and then Marvel. We could do those three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I definitely want to talk about Civil War. Joe, did you watch Civil War?
Actually, no, I haven't seen it yet. But I mean. Geez, it's critically loved by everybody and the fans.
Yeah.
Everybody's licking ass. That's for sure. Yeah.
Spider-Man is one of the best parts. I'll be
Spider-Man
about
was
Spider-Man.
Like, and it was so funny because Spider-Man was so crowbarred in the movie just to say Spider-Man's in the movie. But when he came out, I was like, "Fuck Civil War!
Gosh.
I want to watch a Spider-Man movie right now."
Yes, me too. I want Spider-Man.
Hearing.
It was just so cool, especially when he met when Tony was talking to Aunt May. That was
that was a fun moment. Definitely a show stealer, that's for sure. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well,
and
Matt, Joe, do you want to add anything DC related, DC Legends?
Yeah, I do want to say that I'm glad that Warner Brothers finally woke up and they kind of. They're not necessarily, but they kind of got rid of Zack Snyder and Ben Affleck's now executive producing the movies, which I think it's in good hands. And I'm really excited that Greg Berlanti is doing the Booster Gold movie for the DC movies.
Yep.
I think that opens up possibility for maybe some different Earths crossover from the TVs to the movies now. Now that Greg – I think Warner Brothers is probably trying to get Greg Berlanti – to be the Kevin Feige of the DC movies now, which
is a really
good sign.
That's totally understood. Awesome. That's totally understandable.
And guys, now
he's been delivering the hits on the TV side, that's for sure.
Didn't
he write the Green Lantern movie, though, or at least produce it? I think he was producer on the Green Lantern movie, Greg.
I don't know about – I know Jeff Johns was a producer on that. I don't know about Berlanti. I'm not sure about that
Berlanti
one.
I think had some relation to it. I'm going to try to look it up while we're still on the phone here. Anything else, Joe?
How do you guys feel about Steppenwolf being the possible villain for the first Justice League movie? Are y'all excited for that?
You know, it's so funny. I'm not as
Dark
big of a
villain.
DC fan I am. I'm not familiar with that character, so I'm open.
I am, because I remember him from Superman, the animated series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was in that.
He was the one that had the that big thing that he attacked Superman when Darkseid was invading Earth. I mean, I'm open for that. I am totally
open
for that.
Joe, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm kind of glad they're saving Darkseid for the second Justice League movie. They're going to save the big bat for... Although he is the uncle of Darkseid, which is interesting. You would think he'd be even a bigger villain than Darkseid.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have two big, massive parts, part one and part two, so it's definitely good to share the wealth of villains.
Guys, Batman v Superman is no longer playing as of this weekend.
Well, not in your area. Definitely, it's still playing in L.A., that's for sure. So I have some update news on Greg Bertinelli. He did produce Green Lantern, and he also wrote Green Lantern.
No way. Wow.
Yeah. That's a shocker. I'm like, what? And he also wrote The Wrath of the Titan, which was the sequel
show.
To Clash of the Titans. He also wrote that one. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, the good thing is that he's not writing it. And the announcement was that one of the Flash writers is writing Booster Gold. So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, that is
okay, now, if Greg Bertinelli wrote Green Lantern, let's get going with the Green Lantern TV show. Come on.
Do you think they already mentioned the green guy.
Do you think now that Affleck is executive producing not just Batman but all the DC movies, do you think it's in better hands now? Like, no matter who's directing or writing, he's going to oversee it? Because, I mean, he did do Argo, you know, he did The Town, he did Gone Baby.
I think it's in good hands. But when I read that press release, I thought it was only for his movie and then the Justice League. Like, not Wonder Woman, not... You know, the other upcoming, I think it was just Batman and then the Justice League movies. He was EP.
Okay. Yeah. I got to look more
into
that.
I don't know. You could be right. I could be wrong. But I think I just heard it was just those three movies that he was going to be EP on.
Because DC, Warner Brothers, they definitely need a Kevin Feige. I mean, that's why the Marvel movies are doing so well.
Yeah.
Because they have somebody that knows the comics, that knows these characters, understands them. He's guiding
the
ship.
Yeah, I'm surprised
why
Jeff Johns hasn't stepped up. You know, why hasn't he been? Does he not want it? I mean, have you guys heard anything that he doesn't want it or he's not interested? Because he would be the best go-to guy for that job, right?
I would say so.
Or who else would you put in that chair?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's
Joe,
the big
you know,
question.
Joe would direct it. I think Joe would direct it.
There you go.
I wish.
Boom. And on that note, we're going to end this podcast. Matt from Florida, give us a shout-out, sir.
I love this show. I cannot wait for the new episode within the hour. Go DC. It is DC Nation always on this podcast. We are
always.
Justice League. Always Justice League. It rocks.
There you go.
I cannot wait for the Batman v Superman on Blu-ray in a few months.
There you go. All right, Joe, you want to give us a shout-out as we wrap up the show?
Yeah, I just want to say it's nice to be back talking to you guys again. I'm really pulling for the Warner Brothers DC movies to do really well from here on out. And I'm excited for the Batman movies actually coming out. I'm really excited for the Batman movies.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my
shout out. All right, cool, Joe. Well, you're always welcome to head back in to the podcast or take a break. You know, you're always welcome. And for those listening to the podcast, thank you guys so much for downloading the podcast. Really appreciate your time and effort to listen to our opinions about all the CW shows, or should I say DC shows, and also movies. So definitely feel free to download our other podcast on DCComicsTalk.com. All right. Talk to you then. Bye.
See you guys later.